Every week, Sally Swift checks in with our friends at America's Test Kitchen, and this week, she talked with Dan Souza about what they're up to.
Hey Dan, great to talk to you.
Always good to be here.
So I want to talk to you today about some kind of chefy techniques and things that we can actually do in our own homes. Have you guys been working on anything?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the chefy term is interesting because a lot of times it means it's just not approachable. It's not something, you know, you leave it to the pros of the restaurants. And that's true for some things. But at Cooks Illustrated, we love digging into the stuff that is actually not that simple. Like, it's kind of a cool concept. You might need a little bit of equipment, but it's pretty easy to pull off at home. And there are two things that I would love to get into today, which is making cold brew coffee with a cream whipper. So making like nitrogen infused coffee, which sounds crazy, but it's delicious. And the other is using koji, which is an ancient mold, to make really good chicken.
Okay, that sounds excellent. Let's start with the coffee. Would you start even further back than I bet you would want to start? But tell us how you make cold brew coffee, first of all.
Sure, totally. So cold brew coffee obviously is not really new anymore. You kind of see it everywhere. And it is, as the name suggests, brewed at a colder temperature than traditional hot brewed coffee. So sometimes it's done in the fridge, sometimes it's done on the counter. But what you're essentially doing is mixing ground coffee with water and letting it sit for a pretty long period of time. So obviously we can brew coffee in 2 minutes using, you know, just off the boil water. At room temperature, we're looking at about 24-hour brew time. And so you might ask, why would you ever want to wait that long for a cup of coffee? And the reason is you get a pretty different product using cold water or room temperature water. And what you're really doing is you're extracting a lot slower, for one, but you're also extracting less of some things. Bitterness, for instance, the bitterness in coffee, you extract a ton more of that at higher temperatures. So cold brew coffee is usually less bitter. It's often less acidic as well. And so when you drop those two elements, you pick up on a lot of the other flavors of coffee. So people often describe cold brew as being more chocolatey, more nutty, more floral. Kind of these background notes really come to the fore when you don't have those other components.
I think it's delicious and super simple to do, and it's all about proportion, which I know you guys have dug into in great detail.
That's right, and you'll find recipes that vary considerably. But what we really like is we found a one-to-one ratio in terms of volume, and we like a medium grind on the coffee so that you get good extraction, but it doesn't trap too much water. If you use a really fine grind, it'll just trap so much that it's hard to get it out after the fact. We really like using a French press for it. So you mix your coffee and your water in the French press, cover it with plastic wrap, let it sit on the counter for 24 hours, and then take off the plastic, you know, press it as you would normal French press through, we like to put it through a coffee filter. It gets rid of a little bit of that grit and makes it really nice. And then if there's still a fair amount of coffee trapped in those grinds, you can actually put it in cheesecloth and give it a good press and squeeze to get the rest out. But that makes a really nice concentrate that we generally dilute kind of one-to-one. But if you like really intense coffee, you could just drink it straight.
But explain to me once and for all, what's nitro brewed?
Okay, so there's a couple of different ways that you can use nitrous oxide to make really interesting coffee products. So the first is you can actually use it to speed up the cold brew process significantly. So instead of about 24 hours, you can get the job done in about an hour. Once you have cold brew, no matter how you've made it, you can actually take that same setup and you can add a really delicious creamy texture and that gorgeous Guinness-like head to your coffee, also using nitrous oxide. And for both of those, what you need is we call a cream whipper. And this is kind of a metal canister that you can screw the cap on really, really tight and pressurize it with cartridges of either carbon dioxide or nitrous oxide. And then there's a kind of nozzle that you can dispense out of. And so using that setup, you can make really fast cold brew, and you can also make that really creamy coffee that you get, you know, at some coffee shops they have kind of on tap. So that is taking brewed coffee. So that could be cold brewed, the nitro brew method we talked about. So cold coffee, putting it in the canister, and then charging it with nitrous oxide. And what you've done there is, in the same way that we try to infuse, you know, carbon dioxide into beer or into soda to make it bubbly, we can do the same thing with nitrogen. But when it's dissolved in the liquid, instead of being, you know, bubbly and sharp the way carbon dioxide is, it makes it kind of creamy. It adds a little bit of sweetness, and you get that beautiful kind of creamy beer-like head on the top there.
And why is it sweet?
That's just what happens when you dissolve nitrous oxide in a liquid. It just ends up tasting a little bit sweet.
Wow, I had no idea. Okay, so let's talk about the second technique that you have, koji.
Koji, yeah. It sounds like crazy science, but it's really cool. Koji is this ancient mold that, without it, we wouldn't have sake, miso, soy sauce. I mean, all these fundamental foods from, particularly from East Asia. And it's this really, really funky mold that grows on rice, and you can put it to really great use. So traditionally, we know what it's used for. It's to break down soybeans. It's something like soy sauce. It breaks down the protein and starch in soybeans, and you get something that is really meaty and rich and incredibly flavorful. Mm-hmm. If you've ever had, edamame at a restaurant, they're pretty bland. They don't have a ton of flavor to them. Koji is what transforms that into the powerhouse ingredient that is soy sauce. So super rich in umami.
Yeah, yeah.
But you can actually put koji to use in your kitchen in some really cool ways that I find really accessible and use all the time at home. And so one of them is to make this really potent marinade out of koji called shiokoji. So what you're essentially doing is you're purchasing a dried rice product that has the koji spores on it. So the rice has been inoculated and then dried, and you can buy it, and it just looks like kind of dry rice in a block.
Okay.
So you take some of that and you mix it with water and salt, and you heat it up to about 140 degrees, and then you let that ferment on your counter the same way you would, pickles or something like that. You let it ferment on your counter for about a week, and then it is ready to rock. And So what's really cool about shiokoji is it contains two different kinds of enzymes, and one of them breaks down proteins and the other breaks down starches. And the protein one is really cool because it takes proteins, breaks them down into amino acids that are really, really savory. So the basic process for using this is taking a little bit of it, mixing it with protein of your choice. So it's awesome with fish, it's awesome with chicken. Mix it with that, let it marinate for about an hour. You can go overnight if you want. And it goes to work on those proteins, breaking them down into much more flavorful compounds.
Hmm.
So I think two awesome uses for it are turkey, one of the things that we cook that needs as much help as it can. Yeah. So koji turkey is incredible. We basically mix some of that shiokoji into a brine, and we brine the turkey as we normally would, and we roast it up, and it is like, it's incredible. The flavor is so meaty and deep. It's the kind of thing that people are describing it and you don't think they're talking about turkey. It's really, really cool.
Wow.
Fried chicken is also another awesome one. So you marinate the chicken in some koji before you coat it, and it gives it almost this like snack food, meaty, sweet quality. It's really, really cool.
Oh, that sounds amazing. Now, how long does it keep once you've made it?
Oh, that's the great part. So yeah, it's a week to ferment it, but then it's good for at least 6 months in your fridge. I've kept stuff longer than that. It's really stable once it's in there.
And would you use that like you would a soy sauce as well? Would you use it as a seasoning, or is this really something that needs to interact with the enzymes of the meat or the protein?
Yeah, you could. It doesn't have the same intensity of flavor of a soy sauce, but people will sometimes use it as a seasoning in and of itself.
Okay.
It's got, it still has the rice in there, but you could strain that off and use some of the liquid. It's got a nice complexity to it, but it becomes kind of magical once it comes in contact with some protein.
Oh, it sounds great. And where do you find koji? Like Amazon?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can just buy it. Exactly. And the Cook's Illustrated recipe, we've got a link to a great product you can pick up on Amazon, which is really easy to find. You can actually purchase, if you don't want to go through that fermentation process, they sell shiokoji already made.
Already done.
If that's how you want to just kind of get into it. But it's fun. Once you start playing around with it, you find, I think, lots of uses for it. And it's kind of a little secret ingredient in your kitchen.
Oh, it just sounds great. Dan, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks so much.
Dan Souza is editor-in-chief of Cook's Illustrated. You can go to splendidtable.org to find their recipes for nitro cold brew, shiokoji, and their koji fried chicken.